I'm stuck in traffic. Yep. At 1 a.m., a truck driver carrying a tanker of gasoline crashed and overturned near a bridge in Madera County on Highway 99. The gasoline spilled onto the asphalt and ignited. The freeway caught on fire. The driver was uninjured, thank goodness. But here I am 12 hours later, and the highway is still closed. They're going to have to get a construction company to come out and lay new asphalt. Of course, I used an alternative route. I have Google Maps. I have Waze. I have all the other navigation tools, which means, yes, I can also be tracked by any corrupt police agency or terrorist group because I use all my tracking devices. I am tech savvy. Unfortunately, others aren't as smart as I. I got off the freeway early. I looped around. I was flying in my Mercedes-Benz. It's old. Don't judge me. And then bam, all the traffic, all the people who didn't plan were being diverted right where I needed to go. So I'm stuck in a miles-long slowdown, and we are crawling the way an old cockroach crawls over the kitchen counter. Sorry about that. And here I see is the highway patrol, just standing around with a couple of pot-bellied construction guys. Why the hell aren't they down the freeway a couple of miles, diverting traffic from there? Lord, it's awful to be the smart one. So here I sit, and I'm thinking about driving to Fresno. I couldn't wait to leave Fresno, California, my hometown. From the moment I learned to read and to understand that there is a whole world outside of this small, hot, dusty town in the San Joaquin Valley, I did everything in my power to get out. All right, really, Fresno's not that bad. It can actually be quite lovely, sometimes. But to a poor Latina growing up in a male-dominated culture in the 1970s and 80s, it was a place to leave, not a place to stay. Right now, I think about the child and the young woman I was and how I plotted and worked and never lost sight of my goal. Leave Fresno, leave Fresno, leave Fresno. Looking back, I'm impressed and amazed at my determination and willpower. I never let anything stop me. Where did that woman go? As I travel back to Fresno today, I think about the woman I was and the woman I am, and all the ways I've changed, and all the ways I've improved. I'm Gloria Moraga. This is One-on-One, Communications in the Digital Age, and this is my trip home. It's about communications and family, communications with loved ones. Why is it so difficult to talk to people who aren't your age? Why is it so difficult to talk to people?
This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
You Can't Go Home Again. Thomas Wolfe wrote that novel, You Can't Go Home Again. It was first published in 1940 after the author's death. The book was about a writer, a published author named George Weber, who traveled to Paris and Germany and lived there shortly before the outbreak of the war in Europe. Here's George Weber's story. After the success of his first novel, he tried to return to his hometown, but he was out of place and unwelcome by old friends. This is from Wolfe's novel, You Can't Go Home Again. Listen to how magical the words are. You can't go back home to your family, back home to your childhood, back home to a young man's dreams of glory and of fame, back home to places in the country, back home to the old forms and systems of things which once seemed everlasting but are changing all the time, back home to the escapes of time and memory. Wow, what a writer. If possible, please read the book. It's about America and Germany. It's about the Depression here and the rise of Nazism there. It's really good. That story is quite a different story compared to mine. It's different, but we're all the same. I was a poor woman of color who worked hard in school so I could afford college. I wanted to be a television journalist. It's a dream I accomplished. Still, as much as I fought to leave Fresno, I always return. And the reasons are simple. I return because I'm connected to the people I love. They are simply my family. I'm making this trip for my cousin Bob. My cousin Bob. As a boy, he lived with my Aunt Gloria and Uncle Robert. Their house was located right behind my elementary school, Ewing Elementary School. My cousins lived about 5 blocks from where I lived from age 7 to age 20. And that's when I married and moved to San Francisco to finish my last 2 years of college. Bob is a year younger than I. He's funny and smart. And here's what I remember most about Bob, my strongest memory. I remember him giving me a ride on his bike. And he was weaving in and out of driveways fast. I was scared and I was screaming and I loved it. Finally, we crashed onto somebody's lawn. We were fine. We weren't hurt. I never could ride a bike because my leg was too weak from polio. But I always remember that bike ride. And later, I would dream about riding a bike and the feeling of the wind on my face. And Bob has always been in those dreams. Now he was having back surgery, and he became my best confidant and friend after my 2 broken legs in the last 2 years. So, of course, I had to come visit him as he recovered at my Aunt Gloria's. He looked pale and thin, but he is recovering with his dog at his side. He's going to be great. Bob and I had already talked about the times he left home. He had a troubled relationship with his dad, who was a bully. My Uncle Robert, whom I adored, had beaten Bob more than once, and Bob had run away after each of those beatings when he was just a kid. He ran away numerous times. I didn't know. As usual, I was clueless. My point about this, why I mention my Uncle Robert, is because we never really know what goes on inside someone else's house. We don't know what it's like to live in a house with other people. No one really ever knew my dad was a mean drunk. To everybody outside, he was Wonderful Eddie. My trip home really didn't focus on my beloved cousin Bob.
This trip home is about young women and education and memories of my mother and what she taught me about being a smart woman. It was difficult then, and it is difficult now. Why haven't things got easier for women to grow up, get an education, and succeed? Sometimes we are lucky enough to have one person support us and push us and help us grow up, and move on. So for this podcast, I'm going to talk about Latinas and their kids. Please don't be offended, but just for a moment, I'm going to call us all Latina bitches.
Latina bitches. Latina mothers and daughters have a strange, wonderful, beautiful, strong connection. I had it with my mom. My sister had it with my mom. My sister has it with her daughter, and I have it with my daughter. It can't be explained. Others don't understand. It just is. I came from a place in the 1970s and 80s when children meant the end of a career. Children meant the end of dreams. That's not true anymore. My daughter is proving that to me. Statistics are not on our side. We are Latinas, and these are the facts. Hispanics still lag behind other groups in obtaining a 4-year degree, and these statistics are from 2014. Among Hispanics aged 25 to 29, just 15% have a bachelor's degree or higher. By comparison, among the same age group, 41% of whites have bachelor's degrees or higher, 22% of blacks, and 63% of Asians. This gap is due in part to the fact that Hispanics are less likely than other groups to enroll in 4-year colleges. They're less likely to attend an academically selective college and to enroll full-time. Do you want to know the main reason why we're at the bottom of the education heap? Family. We are more likely to have to work to support our family. We stick close to home because of family. We don't like to move far away from family. Speaking as a Latina bitch, I must add, I married at 20. I moved away. I finished college. I moved back. I started my career. I watched my mother die of cancer. I buried her. I buried a piece of my heart. She was my heart. She was my Latina bitch. She pushed me to finish my education and to succeed and to never give up. Not everybody is lucky enough to have a mother like Linda Moraga. That is why some of us worry about young Latinas who aren't going to college or finishing college. Some of us aren't even finishing high school. No matter how much I've changed since I left Fresno, I can still hear my mother's voice in my head. Don't give up. You can do it. Get an education. Read a book. They can't take that away from you. Never quit. I'm Gloria Moraga, one-on-one, communications in the digital age. Put down the cell phones. Talk to each other, no matter how difficult. Read Thomas Wolfe. See how George Weber changed. Never quit.